And welcome back to Coast. Looking forward to this, The Happy Medium, Life Lessons from the Other Side. Kim Russo with us. I'll tell you all about her in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. When she was 9 years old, Kim Russo discovered she had an incredible gift, an amazing gift. She could communicate with the dead. Kim Russo, also known as The Happy Medium, has been able to see the world of spirits since that young age. Growing up, Kim often saw random spirits in her bedroom, sometimes felt their presence walking home with her from school, not knowing what they wanted. And of course, they scared her then, didn't they? Now she's comforted by her presence and their presence, speaking to them more than she speaks to the living sometimes. Kim is also the star. You've seen her on the Lifetime Movie Network series, The Haunting of. Welcome back to Coast, Kim Russo. Kim, welcome.
Oh, hi. Thank you. How are you?
How is the happy medium?
Oh, I'm pretty
happy.
Alert at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I know it. It's a different life, those of us who live at night, huh?
Oh, I admire you.
But a lot of strange things happen at night.
Oh, I'm no stranger to the night. Trust me on that one.
My gosh. Tell us about this. Let's go back when you were nine. What actually happened to you?
Well, basically, I should go back a little further.
Okay.
To about the age of five. And it was Christmas Eve, and I was standing right near my mom's Christmas tree, and I was a very curious child, and there was a pin on the floor, and I just decided what would happen if I put this pin in the electrical socket.
Oh, no.
Well, I just wanted to see, as curious as I always have been, and I sort of shot across the room. My arm became charcoal, the color of charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was in the back room cooking, and she got very nervous, and her and my aunt took me to the emergency room, and the doctor just wrapped my arm and said, "You may have scarring." He put some kind of salve on it, and that was it. Well, in retrospect now, I realized that about a couple of years after that, I started seeing dead people at the foot of my bed. So I wouldn't know any of this then as a timeline. Only as an adult would I have been able to put all this together. And then a series of events happened where I started learning about what was happening to me. And I read that children, especially under the age of 10, who were hit with high doses of electricity, somehow have their vibration raised and are able to see into other worlds. And I do believe that's what happened to me. And these random spirits would stand at the foot of my bed in a room that I shared with my sister, and she had never seen any of them. But back at that time, they didn't really speak with me. They just stared right through me.
Hovered all around you, didn't they?
Yeah, and they would always assume the same position every single night, at the foot of my bed on the right-hand side. And they were the same group that wouldn't change, the same faces. So I just thought that they wanted something from me, but they would never speak to me. You know, when adults look at children, children look for some kind of smile or gesture or eye movement, letting them know that it's okay, that mm-hmm. they come in peace. Well, they never did that. They just stared at me like I couldn't explain why. And they looked like immigrants with immigrant attire. They were old-time ghosts or spirits.
1800s?
Not that old, but definitely now, again, knowing what immigrant attire was or is,
right?
I would definitely say early 1900s. So there were women and men, if I were a sketch artist, I could probably draw them exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's how etched in my mind they are.
I'm picturing little top hats and things like that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
This electrical jolt that you had at five, do you think that's what literally tuned you in to all of this?
You know, I think about that, and again, I am very scientific in nature. I like to uncover mysteries of the universe. That's just the way I always have been. There are a lot of members in my family that also have this gift, but that have not really developed it to the extent and didn't really have need to. I believe that it enhanced what I probably already was born with. That's what I believe. That's the conclusion I've come to, only knowing that several of my family members have this gift. They are afraid, however, to go near it, touch it. They admire me for going the distance and learning about how to put it to work for others. But I do feel that it's why I have the gift, not just randomly has it been given to me. I do believe this was part of my mission, my soul's mission, to come and help and to teach and to serve and to help heal. That's really.
Was there ever a time, Kim, where you wished you didn't have this gift?
Oh, yes. Oh, many, many, many times. It can come across as a blessing or a curse. Until I learned the rules. Now that's pretty funny, because really, what are the rules? You know, there's no handbook really. So I learned a lot of things from trial and error, just by doing and not doing. But what really hindered me quite a bit was my religious upbringing. That really gave me such a struggle of do I touch this? Is this from God? Is this from the other guy? You know, I was raised in a very Christian home.
Catholic, no doubt.
Catholic turned Christian.
Okay.
My mom found the born again Christian religion after a while, and I write about this in my book, how she stumbled upon that Christianity, and then we saw such a difference in my mom going to this one particular church, and there was such a peace about her, and she encouraged us to always go and check it out, and so we did. I was a young adult though when I started going to the Christian church with my mom. And the only difference between Catholicism and this Christianity and this Bible-based church we were going to was they didn't have saints. They didn't believe in the saints. Or they believed in them, but they never believed in worshiping the saints or praying to the saints, which was something. I did go to Catholic school, so I had to sort of unlearn a little bit there. And all I knew was this church made me feel good, very good. And then the church would always talk about soothsayers and psychics or mediums, and it's in the Bible. And but I had this little secret that I never told anyone, and I always thought that I wasn't sure why I should I ask God for forgiveness to cast out these visions and this knowledge that I seem to have. And it was a huge struggle for me. It to this day, I have a lot of Christians coming at me, you know, with Bible verses and trying to get
Right.
me to see the light and telling me that I will be going to hell and the whole bit. But
Well,
there's a lot of twists and turns along the way.
do they think you deal with the devil?
Yes, of course they do, because they believe that knowing things and seeing things, otherworldly things, and speaking to the dead is not of God. It is not of the God force. And I believed that for a long time as well, because that's what I was taught. I didn't know any other way until I found my own truth. It took many years.
Did you do this all on your own, Kim, or did you have help?
Well, you know, I don't believe we ever do anything on our own. I believe, again, I thought I was doing it on my own, but there were so many helpers that I feel God put on my path to allow me to embrace this gift. And I like to say embrace because And it's a gift to a certain extent, but what I learned is we all have these abilities. We were born with them, but we're taught to shut them down and not to use them. And, you know, governments teach us that, religions, organized religions, it teach us not to tap into the power that we came here with, our spiritual navigation system that every single one of us has, but we don't remember we have it. We don't even know we have it. But that's my goal. I want to help, in my book, I want to help people realize they too can tap into this same universal energy, this divine mind that connects us all. And, I don't know that this, at this point, is so much of a gift as it is an ability that I've learned to develop.
This is your first book, isn't it?
It is. It is my first book. Long time coming.
It is, especially with what you've been doing in your career. My gosh.
Yeah, I take direction very well from the other side, and they said, get that book out there. And I said, okay, you know, didn't even know what to write about in the book, but I was very divinely guided to share my story. Doing the show, The Haunting Of, so that's interesting how I feel that show picked me as well. I didn't pick that show. It picked me. And when it first happened, I thought it was a joke from my spirit guides. I said, oh, you know, okay, guys, you're giving me a show about haunting? Really? Because I consider myself a very logical, grounded, cognitive thinker. I really need to see something to believe it. And it's just so ironic that I am professing to see things that other people cannot see. And then you put it together with a show made up of ghosts. I wasn't really loving that idea when that show came to me. And then I prayed about it. And I says, if I'm actually supposed to do this show to help people, then I will gladly embrace that.
Well, and it's working.
It's working that. Because there, with every haunting that occurs, whether it be on the show or what I come into contact with in real life, in my everyday life, I should say, because that is real life, I find that every soul, whether they're trapped as a ghost or not, has some level of pain that they're trying to work through. And that's pretty much what the show is about, helping the different celebrities work through their haunting experience.
I want to get into some of those celebrities that have been on the show with you in a little moment tonight. But our dear friend, Dr. Brian Weiss, endorsed your book. And this is what he said, a truly important and courageous book. And that's pretty impressive because he didn't do that a lot.
You know, I am so honored. He is definitely one of the people that I look up to in his field. And I had to think about what he meant by writing the word courageous. But I think you could take that several ways. Because I will definitely be challenged by a lot of different people with my book. People will challenge me. People will question me. I'm sort of coming out speaking about religion, and I am not challenging the Bible in any way, shape, or form, but I have a feeling that's what Dr. Weiss was talking about when he said courageous.
I think so.
Do you concur?
Yeah, and you stuck your neck out in a field that not a lot of people will do that. I just had a doctor on talking about the mind before you came on, and he's an atheist. He admitted that, you know, he would like to believe, he just doesn't have the facts to believe. How many people just don't believe in life after death?
Well, how many people? I think more people believe now than ever because I feel there's a spiritual awakening on the planet. I do believe most people believe in something, some power higher than themselves. Although, of course, there are many, many atheists out there. But what I've come to learn on my journey is that people often fear what they do not yet understand. And I can definitely relate to that. But I'll never say I don't believe something. I will always say, teach me what I do not understand. I think that's a better approach to any situation. But to stay closed-minded like that and to think that, first of all, we were able to create everything that's here. You know, I have a bird's nest outside my front door that I've watched happen from the beginning to the hatching of the birds, and now they're still there, and the mommy is feeding them every day, and the daddy watches over them while the mommy goes gets the food.
And they're getting bigger and bigger.
Exactly. Watching this happen, I say to myself, the birds of the universe know what to do. So instinctively, without anybody telling them, and they're surviving, and they're getting along. How does that happen? You know, how do you explain that? So it's just the little things that really open my eyes. And I would encourage people that don't believe is to look at the little things and look at the things they cannot explain. And don't say, I don't believe. Just say, teach me what I don't know.
Kim, did you regress your husband past lives?
Yes, I regress. So for people who don't know what regress means, like Dr. Brian Weiss, I took a little book out of the library, not knowing what I was doing, but it's fascinating to me to learn about the journey of the soul. As far back as I can remember, I knew this was not where I came from. I remember coming from another place, and I remember being new here. Like, well, I just got here, but this is not the first time I've ever been here. I always knew that, by the way, even as a child. But I also remember as a child saying, why did I choose to come again? I don't want... There was points where I didn't want to be here as a child. Because as I went along, oh, I already knew that. That doesn't impress me. Tell me something that I don't know. And so I knew as a kid I was an old soul. And I always knew as a child, and I write about this in my book, that I was going to be doing something in the public eye. As far back as 4 years old, I would be telling my mom this, and my whole family would laugh at me. And it became a joke. Where they would say, oh, you know, you're going to be a movie star, because I would profess that. But I didn't know what it was as a child. But getting back to your question.
So you regressed him.
I regressed him.
How many lives did he? Well, we're already at the break, so hold on. We're going to come back. We'll talk more about that. So much more. Kim Russo with us, The Happy Medium. Her website, by the way, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com as well. We'll be back. Back with Kim Russo, The Happy Medium, as we talk about her life in the other side of the world. So let's talk about this regressing of your husband. How many lives did you uncover?
I uncovered about six total, two that he and I shared together. This is not something that I did for years and years, but I did find some significant lives that we shared and that he shared with one of my children, and it just was fascinating. I found some lives where he didn't share with us. So there was, you know, he was a math teacher in one of his lives, and that resonates because he's very good in math in this life.
That's cool.
You know, and perhaps I was one of his students, who knows, but...
Well, there is that relationship where you play in these different lives, different roles, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. But in one of the lives I found with him, we were also a couple. I was his landlord, and he was my tenant. And if you knew my husband, he didn't know what was happening to him. He gave me blanket approval to do this. He had no clue. He was my little science experiment. But little did I know, he went under hypnosis immediately and deep, very deep. And started relaying all of these things that I didn't even know what was happening. I wasn't sure if who he was talking to, who the characters were. So I had to very, you know, carefully distinguish and ask him all sorts of questions. But I really wasn't prepared, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I don't recommend that to everyone. But as I went along, I quickly realized how to do this, and he was not in any danger, thank God. But it was the results were fascinating of what I uncovered. It almost became a nightly routine, and I would actually pick right before we were going to sleep to ensure that he was very tired, and he would just go right under and start talking. And you know, in those days, back then. I wasn't prepared to have a, you know, audio recording. But then as time went on and cell phones and everything started, I do have some recordings that are pretty interesting, but
of him.
Of him, yeah, under hypnosis.
Now, did he hear himself?
No. Oh, yes.
Afterwards, sure.
I'm sorry, yes.
I mean, did it freak him out?
Freak him out is not the word. Yes. Yes, absolutely. There was a point where his deceased sister came and spoke. And when he heard that recording, I needed to play that for him. He got very, very emotional, and he couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe what was being said. And I knew it resonated. I knew he knew it was real.
Amazing.
And he has no recollection of any of it. So I started with accessing his past lives. And as time went on, not knowing, he would just start accessing other dimensions. And I found that fascinating. But we started with my grandmother coming through and then his grandfather. Again, I don't buy into things too easily. You know, I grilled this poor man under hypnosis. And there was proof that I needed to ask for proof. I needed to ask things that I know my husband didn't even know, so that it could not be coming from his subconscious mind. Boy, did I get my proof.
Huh.
And I wrote a lot about that in the book as well, what my proof was, and against all odds, things that there's no way he would be able to tell me. And then one night, out of the blue, relatives did not show up, past lives did not show up.
Hmm.
But a woman out of the blue, with my husband's voice speaking, told me that she was my husband's spirit guide.
That's pretty interesting. She admitted that to you.
You had to, excuse me?
Was he still under hypnosis?
Yes. It was one night when I just did everything as usual, expecting to hear from a deceased relative or access a past life. I heard him saying to me, "Hello, Kim. Welcome." And I was like, "Okay, who's speaking? Who's speaking?" And she told me that she was Anthony's, my husband is Anthony, his spirit guide. And of course, he's speaking in his voice, using his vocal cords. And I started asking tons of questions. And the first questions I asked was, "What is your name?" And she said, "Well, we don't go by names here. We go by vibrations." And she said, "But if you must have a name, my name is Callie." I asked her to spell it. And I said, "What do you mean you don't go by names?" And she said, "Well, I can give you a name, but which lifetime do you want?
Yeah, that's right. She could have had 20 different names.
Well, listen, that struck me like nothing ever struck me because I didn't expect to hear that, but yet it made so much sense. Of course, what lifetime? And so she picked, I don't know what lifetime she picked, but she picked the name Callie and she laughed. She always gave me a soft chuckle to let me know that she was either humoring me or, and she named me Curious Kim in the process of everything. Well, first my mother named me that, and then she named me that. She knew that I was not an, easy nut to crack. And that she was going to have to offer all the proof that I was requesting to know that she was real. We even got to the point as time went on when we were in the election of President Obama. It even came down to her telling me that that was the most likely candidate for president.
Interesting. Are they telling you anything now?
Well, it's hard to access this, and I'm so upset that I can't access this the way I used to, and it's ever since my husband became a volunteer firefighter. He sleeps much more lightly, like he is always in tune to that fire alarm that might go off at any minute.
Right. Now that
So
keeps you awake.
it does, but there are times when my husband is really, really exhausted. Whether it be he's been up for days in a row or whatever the case may be. And he just, if he just starts talking in his sleep, I can at that point access and direct him into another realm. I don't have to go through my whole process. But I have not been able to get him under hypnosis, but I can't say that I've really tried to see anything about this election, but I probably should do that. It would be most
Well, I'd
interesting.
love to hear that too. We got to get you back for that one. Now,
Maybe I'll do that.
have you played around with the Ouija board?
Oh gosh. I don't recommend it. I was always petrified of it because I was always taught that it really can bring in low-level entities. There was a time that my sister decided, and now we are adults at this point, full-fledged adults and parents, and she decided that she wanted to have some fun. She went to Toys R Us because unfortunately these games can be purchased at these retail stores that cater to children. And she started getting a lot of action on this board. And I was just a bystander watching, and I got so scared that I ran out of the room, and I never wanted any part of it. It's very real. It does bring through open portals to other dimensions, but the lower level dimensions, I have a strict warning about them. I don't recommend them in any way. And you would think, what's the difference between me regressing Anthony or using these Ouija boards? But I thank God that we were very protected when we were doing this work back then. I didn't really know what I was doing, like I said, but knowing now, I would caution against anything like that. EVP, the electronic voice phenomenon and the EVP recorders, I feel those are the same as Ouija boards. They bring in
Really? Okay.
low-level entities.
And they stick around after you
Oh, they
work.
very well can attach to the living, and they like to do that. They like to find an opening where they can come here and wreak havoc and find a host body to live through and to manipulate the energy. And it can be very dangerous. It's not something I recommend.
So in spite of you being the happy medium, it is kind of dangerous then, isn't it?
It is. It can be. It can be. If you do not know what you're doing, if you do not protect yourself in the way that I suggest and that I've learned how to do, it you can be reaching these dimensions that sometimes you cannot close the door, and then you really can get more than what you bargained for. This stuff is real, in my experience, and there's a lot of books out on the topic, but Energy cannot be destroyed. I actually did catch the ending of your last show.
Mm-hmm.
And I did hear them speaking about how energy and matter cannot be destroyed. They were speaking my language. That
Stardust
it's
forever.
Yes, forever. It changes forms, but it cannot be destroyed.
Kim, tell us, in your opinion, what happens when we physically die? What do we expect?
When we physically die, our soul, the essence of our energy, of who we really are, escapes from the physical body. I've actually seen people in hospice or hospitals that are about to expire. I've seen the soul lift out of the body. It looks like a misty light fog. And the soul actually escapes the body, comes out of it, and it becomes free. It's not trapped in the cage anymore, as I like to say. And it travels to its own, to another dimension, towards the light of God, okay, towards its own origination, the original home of where we came from, which is in another dimension. It's vibrating at a frequency that goes beyond the speed of light. That's why a lot of people cannot see it. It's vibrating very, very, very quickly. You know, if you were to put the molecules of the soul under a microscope, you might not even be able to see the frequency, just like you can't see electricity or cell phone signals. The vibrations are just going too quickly. And that's the same frequency of the soul. The soul, all of a sudden, is like a butterfly that can finally fly free and is not in any pain anymore. And it goes back to its true nature, which ultimately is love. But what I like to tell people is when people do leave their physical bodies, they don't automatically go to this heavenly realm, sit on a cloud, and play a harp. That's sort of not what the spirit world has taught me. It's still a journey that needs to get back to enlightenment or love or God. So we're going back to God is what we're going to, the divine source who created us. And I don't feel you need to be religious in order to believe in a supreme energy that created the universe. And I don't care what you call it. People have many different names for this divine supreme energy.
What do you say to people who just don't believe? How do you convince them, or do you?
No, I don't convince them. I'd like to get into people's heads sometimes just to see where this wall or blockage has been created. Like I said, people just don't believe what they do not understand. And to think that you know everything, being trapped in this three-dimensional body, sorry to say, is a little bit ignorant, because we only know what we can perceive through our physical eyes, and there's so much that we can't see through the physical eyes, because we can only see three-dimensional. But when the soul has access to sort of rise above the physical body, you could even do that during meditation. You can actually enter different dimensions and different worlds to see and experience things for themselves. I don't try to convince the skeptics too much. It's not what my job is. But I will answer anybody's question based on what my truth is and what I have found to be true in my world. And a lot of it is based on scientific evidence. I am one of the 19... scientifically tested mediums, 19 in the world, that have been put under scientific experiments to test my abilities.
That's a pretty good honor.
I'm very proud to have been tested by the Wynbridge Institute.
What did they conclude about you?
Oh, they concluded that there is no way, based on how the experiments were created. So myself and a total of 19 other mediums, and they shut down the experiment after that. They had no more funding to do this. They found that there's no other explanation besides the fact that I was able to tune into a different frequency to bring back messages from a loved one for someone where there would be no way for me to know it. I would be doing a blind, triple blind, quadruple blind test on a sitter on the other side of the phone. And they kept changing the experiment. They kept without letting me know what it would be. And this testing took several months to conclude. It wasn't just a one-time phone call. Every single time they would change the rules. And there was even one time when the sitter didn't even know who the dead person was I was trying to contact. All they knew was a first name of the deceased, and that's all they were able to give me. And I needed to describe what they looked like, what they liked to do for a living, how they passed away, physical attributes of the person.
I bet you were spot on too, weren't you?
Well, I had to have been spot on in order to pass these tests.
Yeah.
Because they have a very rigorous testing scoring system from what they've told me. And I did it just to satisfy my own curiosity to say, okay, well, let's just see how this works. And I had nothing to lose.
You know, in the movie Ghost, like Whoopi Goldberg was just. They would never let her alone. The spirits would bother her all the time. Does that happen to you sometimes?
It did in the beginning when I didn't know how to harness the ability. I didn't know the rules. I didn't know have boundaries at all. I thought it was great. I welcomed everyone to come and chat with me and teach me about their world. I wanted to know everything. I was like a sponge in the
Huh.
beginning. I really was curious and
Well, and
convinced.
you learned well.
I needed to learn boundaries, and I needed to learn that I cannot be on call 24/7. But the other side, if they saw a vessel to channel through 24/7, they don't sleep on that side. They don't need sleep. So, of course, they would take the opportunity whenever it afforded them. And I said, wow, it's just like anybody else. It's like the living. Just
Is.
take, take, take.
Kim, we're gonna come back and take some phone calls with you and keep talking with some interesting things on Coast to Coast AM.